I don't care who you are or where you are or what your job is. You are probably in the middle, meaning you probably have people that are accountable to you and people that you are accountable to. Whether you officially lead in the organization or not, you're in the middle. You're between the client and your manager. You're between your manager and the people that you manage. You are between maybe even two different people in your client organization, right? You are in the middle. Well, how do you manage from the middle? How do you lead from the middle? How do you deal with those dynamics, those tensions? Today's guest is going to help us sort through it. His name's Scott Mautz, and his new book is called Leading from the Middle. This episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Bambi. Go to bambi.com/accidentalcreative right now to schedule your free HR audit. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including the new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold or at motivationcode.com. Hey, over the coming months, we're going to be making some changes to the show. You've probably already noticed that we've changed the podcast art. At least if you're looking at your phone, you may have noticed that. We're also going to be doing some Q&A segments here on the show more frequently. And I want to hear your questions. What would you like us to talk about here on the show? So go to accidentalcreative.com/podcasts. And there's a place there you can just click a link and you can ask a question to be played back on the show, and then I'll respond to those questions. So again, it's accidentalcreative.com/podcasts to ask your question. Also, very exciting news. I have a new book that's going to be launching a year from September. Yes, a year from September. It's a very long time from now, but here's the deal. I've worked it out with my publisher that I'm going to let a group of people read it a day at a time, starting in July. Actually, July 7th is the 10-year anniversary of the launch of The Accidental Creative, my first book. And so we're going to let people read the book starting in July, even though it doesn't come out until September 2022. So if you would like to be one of those people, go to thedailycreative.me, thedailycreative.me, and you can learn more about how to read my next book now, even though it doesn't come out until a year from September. It's really exciting. I can't wait to share it with you. I believe this is going to be the capstone of the last decade of my work. This book is going to be something that I think is going to really help you be prolific, brilliant, and healthy every single day as a creative professional. I'm very, very excited about it. All right, we're going to dive into the conversation with Scott Mautz in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is sponsored by Bambi. So when running a business, which many of us who listen do, I know I hear from you all the time, you know that HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. So Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. Listen, you didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Nobody does that, right? Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to bambi.com/accidentalcreative right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's bambi.com/accidentalcreative, spelled B-A-M to the B-E-E.com/accidentalcreative. And we thank Bambi for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, let's dive into the conversation with Scott Mautz. Hope you enjoy. Well, I'm excited to have on the show today Scott Mautz. Scott is a friend of the podcast. I think he's been on here a couple times maybe in the past. Yeah. And he's a phenomenal author, a business leader, someone who has a tremendous amount of wisdom to share with all of us about what it means to be in and lead organizations. He's also the author of a new book. It's called Leading from the Middle, which is, I think, something, a phrase that will resonate with anybody who leads a team. Scott, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Fantastic to be back once again, Todd. You run a really great ship, and I'm happy to be on it right now.
So, thank you. Thanks so much. Hey, for those who may not be familiar with you or haven't listened to the past episode, which, by the way, if you haven't, you can go back and listen to Scott's previous appearances on the show. But could you just briefly give us an overview of you and your career and how you ended up writing books?
Yeah, no worries. I'm a longtime corporate veteran, over 30 years in corporate life, a lot of it spent running multi-billion dollar businesses at Procter & Gamble. And you know, I found I really enjoyed the time, but there came a time when I found that I really wanted to broaden my platform for making a difference in people's lives. And I started writing my first book, Make It Matter, while I was still at Procter & Gamble, and started getting asked to do a lot of leadership talks around the company. And as it turns out, I know this will shock you, Todd, but it turns out I wasn't at least the worst person in the world at it. And I started getting asked to do more and more talks, and more people said, hey, you should write a book. And I said, well, in fact, I am. One thing led to another, and I found real passion in diving deep into the research side of the equation, which is why I also teach at Indiana University School of business for executive education. It gives me a chance to really scratch my research itch. And so now I combine research with a lot of years of experience and a real passion for helping people to become better versions of themselves, especially in the leadership arena. And that's how I got to where I am today.
And I got to say, Scott and I both used to live in Cincinnati, but he has now moved to a place where it doesn't snow in April like it did yesterday here for us, which is crazy. Right. I woke up, Scott, I had my second vaccine shot, and I woke up and looked out the window, and there was snow all over the ground. And I thought, is this a side effect of the second vaccine shot? Is that what I'm seeing here? I don't know, but it's kind of crazy.
I hate to tell you that it was 70 degrees here the same day in San Diego that you were doing that. So sorry about
that. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Okay. Fine. all right. So Scott, your new book is called Leading from the Middle. And again, I think this is a phrase that's going to resonate with a lot of people because we all feel that squeeze. Anybody who's led a team knows it's not about being on top. It's about being in the middle. Even the CEO of a company reports to the board, right? I really just want us to talk a little bit about what that dynamic is like. What are some of the unique challenges of people who have to lead from the middle?
Yeah, for sure, Todd. And one thing for definition for everybody, in case if a lot of your audience thinks, well, geez, am I really a middle manager? Anyone who has a boss and is a boss and has to lead from the middle up, down, and across the organization to do their job effectively is a middle manager. Like you said, even people in the C-suite, you got a boss called the board. You're a middle manager. This is about not the title and the label of being a middle manager, but about the dynamic that's created when you have to manage in all directions. And some of the unique challenges I have in the book, Leading from the Middle, I go really in depth on this, Todd. I'm only going to hit a point or two that might be a surprise to you. You know, I go into a entire model that talks about the different types of challenges, and I'm going to maybe surprise you a little bit. Most people say, okay, Scott, I got it. You don't even need to tell me this part. I got it. The biggest challenge of being a middle manager is there's so much work to do. It exhausts me. That's it, right? Yeah, that's true. But it's actually not the number one reason. And we're now learning from neuroscience and psychology, Todd, that the top reason that middle managers, the job is so challenging is it has to do with all the hats that you have to wear as a middle manager. You have to do so many different jobs and tasks, and people, you know, interrupt me when I'm saying this and say, oh yeah, okay, see, that's why you're so tired, because there's so much work to do from all the jobs and the hats you have to wear. No, it all comes back to what neuroscientists call micro switching. It's that changing that you have to do in your role constantly. One moment you're deferential to your boss, the next you have to switch into assertive mode with employees, the next you have to switch into collaborative mode with your peers, and sometimes you have to do it all within one meeting. You go from low power roles to high power roles. You go from having tremendous autonomy to being a cog in the wheel. And oftentimes you got to jump into a role that you weren't expecting to play. Your boss comes into a meeting that you're in and you're like, oh gosh, I quickly got to switch into manage the boss mode and get out of assertive mode with my employees. And we're learning more and more that constant micro switching is absolutely exhausting mentally, even more so than the amount of work that all those hats creates for us. Does that make sense to you, Todd? Is it a surprise to you at all? Because it was surprising to me that this is probably the top cause of what makes it so unique and challenging in the middle.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think one of the things that, one of the dynamics I see in organizations all the time is it's not the work, it's the work between the work, right? It's what it takes for us to emotionally engage. It's the wear and the tear. Like we're capable of physically lining up and knocking out tasks. Like we're capable of that. It's the emotional wear and tear. It's the weight of the work. It's the weight of the relationships. It's the uncertainty of not knowing what do I do next. You know, is this the opportunity for me to challenge my boss, or should I wait until there's a better opportunity or a better moment to have that challenging conversation? Like, I don't know what's the right thing to do. You know, I think it's all of that uncertainty that often lives in that place of the middle, because the reality is the people that you lead and also the people that lead you are probably also in the middle experiencing those same swirling pools of uncertainty.
That's right, Todd. And it adds up to a term that you actually use, Todd, that I really like. You talk on your show and have talked in your books about, you know, the danger of working in an echo chamber. And that's often what happens with middle managers. It's a lonely job. You're surrounded, and yet you're alone because you can't really be a part of anyone's group, right? You can't really be too friendly with your boss. You can't really be too friendly with people that report to you. It creates great emotional strain and physical strain, by the way, as well, that it's related to the stress. You know, it was interesting in the book, I talk about a really fun study that researchers in London, in England, ran, where they studied a number of packs of monkeys to determine, okay, what happens to monkeys? What monkeys are healthiest? What's the truth of the hierarchy in a monkey pack, which isn't probably something you think about every day? And they studied hundreds of monkeys, and they looked at all the behaviors that packs of monkeys engage in, like aggressive behaviors, like when they slap each other or screech at each other. And they looked at nurturing behaviors, like when they groom each other or just, you know, care for each other in general. And what they found was they then measured the fecal matter of all the monkeys in the pack, which is a job I'll leave to you, Todd. I'm going to focus on other things. And they were looking for stress hormones to find out, you know, what are the stress hormones of each of the monkeys in the pack? And what they found was, probably not surprisingly, the monkeys that were dead middle in the hierarchy, the ones that aren't, you know, the king baboon, the ones that aren't, you know, the youngsters running around, the ones that had to manage up, down, and across the monkey pack, by far were the most stressed and the least healthy. And guess what? That plays out amongst the monkeys, you know, dumber cousin, the human being. And it turns out to be that's the same for us. So you also have to deal with this incredible amount of physical stress in the middle as well. That's probably not surprising either, Todd, I'm imagining.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I mean, we've all had to manage our fair amount of metaphorical organizational fecal matter. I think, right. You know, and that's right. But that, you know, the thing is, it doesn't surprise me at all. Because it is squarely in the middle where, you know, when I give a presentation, I'll ask this question, like, why would anybody want to do this job? I mean, for real, like if you're not in it for the right reasons, why would anybody want to be in a leadership role? Because there's so much more to it than just getting the work done. So I want to talk about some of those things. You give some great advice in the book, obviously from deep and heavy experience, about how to effectively lead from the middle. So let's talk about leading your boss. Now, this is something that, you know, we've heard this phrase leading up. That's something that's often said to describe this dynamic. What are some things, just some high-level principles we should keep in mind when we're leading our boss, leading our manager?
Very quick. One of the most powerful things you can do, and we'll find out if this is surprising to you or not, Todd, is to understand the asks. Understand what's required of you. And folks will say, wait a minute, Scott, are you talking about getting clear on expectations? Yeah, I know we got to do that. Yep, that's what I'm talking about. But check this out. For this book, we conducted research, Todd, amongst over 300 boss and subordinate pairs. And we found that in over 80% of the cases, there was material misunderstanding and expectations between the two. Despite when we started the research, asking them, do you feel you're clear on what your boss wants of you? And vice versa, by the way, do you feel you're clear on what your employees expect of you? And despite the belief that they were clear, when we dug into it, we found material breaches most of the time. The truth is, you're not as clear on expectations with your boss as you think you are. And a really powerful, simple exercise you can engage in is what I call the good to great grid. And it's very simple, Todd. It's based on a simple principle that oftentimes people don't do their best work, the work that you're expecting of them as a boss, because they don't know what great looks like. But if you sit down and, you know, I want your listeners to imagine a simple column, you know, simple table. On the left, there's three columns. On the left-hand side, there's metrics that are important to you and your company, say leadership or priority setting or risk-taking. The next column over is the word good. The next column over is the word great. And you literally sit down and define, put words to paper, what good leadership looks like and what great leadership looks like. And what happens in the exercise, Todd, is it forces specificity. We know the number one reason that people aren't clear on expectations from their boss is too much is assumed. We get very lazy in articulating what we expect of other people. We don't get specific enough. And it being forced to articulate what good and what great is on a specific metric, it creates a foil, a tension that forces you to get very clear on what great looks like. And what boss isn't expecting great from their employees? A very, very powerful exercise.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. And you know, forcing specificity, getting to meaningful specifics is always a great challenge, I think, for a lot of organizations, especially people who are listening to this. A lot of them are doing, well, most people are doing what we would dub creative work, right? Where you have to solve problems and resolve uncertainty daily. But one of the challenges there is really getting to those specifics and not settling for ambiguous expectations, but instead keep pushing, keep asking questions, keep driving, keep centering in until you get to something concrete and specific.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
All right. So let's talk about leading down then, leading your team. And this is, you know, when we talk about up and down, we're not talking about levels of value or importance. We're just talking about sort of in an organizational chart, right? So leading up doesn't mean somebody is your superior human being, right? It's just that they happen to be in a position of authority. All right, leading down, what are some core things we need to keep in mind when we're leading our team, Scott?
Yeah, that's right. Leading down, in this case, it's, you know, people that, you know, report to you, which is to be distinguished from leading across, which is people that don't report to you. And I'll get to that in a second. But so for leading down, I'm going to focus on the most common question that I get here, Todd, which by far I found in research and in my experience, most people, when it comes to managing others, want to know, how do I get good at feedback? Because I feel like I stink at it, and my employees always, you know, I get horrible feedback on my feedback. And we know from research that, you know, get ready for this number, 73% of employees say their boss is terrible at giving feedback, and 40% of them say they feel like they're more confused after the feedback than before they got it. So it's understandable. Here's a couple simple rules on mastering feedback, and I'm going to keep it simple. The book goes into a lot of depth here, Todd, but a couple of rules of thumb. Number one, let's follow that theme of specificity. You got to be specific. My grandpa used to say, white bread ain't nutritious. And, you know, it applies to feedback, meaning you can't think of feedback as generic white bread that's bland with no taste, no granularity to it. You got to think about it as whole grain bread. You got to be specific and granular for it to have any impact. You got to be sincere. If it comes from the heart, it sticks in the mind. You have to be calibrating, meaning you have to put the feedback into context. So for example, Todd, let's say I'm giving you feedback on your podcast, right? I'm your podcast boss, and I'm giving you feedback. And I say, you know, Todd, I really like your podcast, but I'm making this up here. I think the sound quality is off. Most of the podcasts are too quiet. I just made that up. I now have to put that into context for you, because if I don't, what's going to happen is you, like most employees, are probably going to spiral downwards. You're going to beat yourself up. You're going to take the worst of that. And if I don't calibrate that for you by saying either, Todd, it's totally natural. Most podcasters never had their volume levels right on the podcast, so don't worry about it. Just improve it. Or if I really want to send a message, you know, I would put it in context. Hey, Todd, you really got to improve this if you want to keep climbing the rankings in iTunes for your iPod, like for your podcast. It's not gonna. You have to put it into perspective and calibrate it. And then the last tip, you know, I could share. The book is filled with them on giving feedback, but you also have to be proportionate. The truth is, human beings do a lot more good than bad, Todd. And we now have found that the ideal mix is for every one piece of corrective feedback you give to an employee, you want to give five pieces of kind of supportive and confirming feedback. The only exception to that rule being if you're in a long time relationship with an employee and you're long past, you know, niceties, and you have such a deep level of trust, you can just pound on your employee and they'll know it comes from a place of love. You know, that's the exception. But in general, for the rest of it, it's a 5-to-1 ratio, right? So that's does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I love that idea too about, you know, making sure that you're giving proportionate feedback. You know, it's easy to only spot the things that are wrong. You know, and I have, you know, I run this thing called Creative Leader Roundtable, and I often hear from people who participate, they say, you know, the challenge is that my manager only tells me when things are wrong. You know, my manager never tells me when things are going well or when I've hit the mark. It's acceptable if I hit the mark, or it's really, really bad if I didn't hit the mark. And that doesn't really give you much to aim for. You know, if you're just trying to minimize the downside, but there's no upside to your work, it's really difficult to work for a boss like that.
It's beyond difficult. You won't be working for that boss much longer because you'll be proactive in ensuring that point. Let's leave it at that.
Right, for sure. All right, let's talk about leading across, because we have to do this as well. We have to lead with, we don't have authority to lead our peers, so we have to lead with influence. What does it look like to influence our peers?
Yeah, and the book is packed with tips on this. I'm just going to focus on one of the most powerful ones. It's what I call the golden rule of influence, Todd, and I borrowed it from author Dan Schwartz and ran with it. And I personally have labeled it the golden rule of influence because I find it to be so accurate. And to explain this to your listeners, I'm just going to run a very simple test with you, Todd. I want you to think of somebody in your life that had tremendous influence over you. And let's stick to the professional arena. Okay. That they had tremendous influence over you, but you didn't report to them. They had no formal authority over you. Just let me know when you have that person kind of pictured in your mind.
Yeah, I got them.
Okay, good. The odds are they were so influential because they did one, at least, or all of these four things. Did they care? Did they listen?
For sure. Yep.
Did they give you something? Did they teach you something?
Yeah, for sure.
Probably yes to all four of those, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
That is the golden rule of influence. It can be as simple as that. If you step back and say, all right, I'm in a place where I have to influence my cross-functional counterparts, but they don't report to me. I promise you, Todd, and I have backed this up with my own intense research, if you show you care, if you show you listen, if you give them something, if you teach them something, I promise you, you will have influence over them and be able to use that influence in a way that's helpful for you, not in a manipulative way, but they'll return the favor with reciprocity, and you'll be able to accomplish more in your role managing across the organization as well.
Yeah. Fantastic. I love that. So, Scott, as we think about next steps, I mean, some people might be hearing all of this and saying, okay, great. That sounds wonderful. I would love to be in that place. Scott, I've not run multi-billion dollar businesses. You know, this is some of this is intuitive to me. What would be a great place for them to start today to become a more effective leader from the middle?
I'm going to touch on two things very quickly. One of the most powerful things you can do leading from the middle is to practice the golden question. Keep asking yourself, am I assisting success or avoiding failure with my behaviors? You are at the vertical and horizontal intersection, Todd, in an organization of all the information flow and all the activity. And you have a choice. You are either going to assist success, which shows up as investing in coaching, knocking down barriers, being a passionate champion for projects, getting people resources, or you're going to act in a way that avoids failure, which shows up as indecision, being conservative, being a perfectionist, covering your butt, and the worst of all, micromanaging, which I like to say, you know, micromanagement crushes souls, not goals. Mm. And they're two very, very different things. So if you can keep asking your question, holding yourself accountable for that, especially because you're at the intersection of vertical and horizontal truth in the organization, it's really, really powerful. One other tip I'll give for people to get started is to practice the 50-50 rule, which says middle managers are crazy busy. We established that up front in this discussion. And what happens in times, especially amongst middle managers, our research is showing, Todd, is that you get caught up in chasing everybody else's urgent. And you find you're behind in your own agenda and you're going in circles and you wonder, like, what's the point of it all? It's in the times when it's swirling the most, you practice the 50-50 rule, which says focus 50% of your time on pragmatism, 50% on possibilities. And here's what I mean by that. Imagine if you take all your time, cut that time in half, and only half of that time can pragmatically be spent on the things that are most important. What are the most important priorities that have to happen? When you take only half of your time and say, I'm going to focus that on priorities, it really forces you to prioritize. The other half, the other 50% of your time is spent on possibilities. And we now know from research that what happens when we're busiest is we get so caught up in bouncing around in other people's agendas and trying to cross off our to-do list, we glide right past the possibilities that are in front of us when times are busiest. And the good thing about this is, you know, when you spend 50% of your time on pragmatism, 50% of possibilities, guess what? 50 plus 50 equals 100, which means 0% of your time is spent spiraling downward in a cloud of negativity and woe is me that you're so busy. So 50% on pragmatism, 50% on focusing on possibilities, very powerful rule to get started.
I love that. Scott Maltz is the author of the new book, Leading from the Middle. Scott, if people want to know more about you and your work, where can they go?
Cool. You can find me at scottmaltz.com, S-C-O-T-T-M-A-U-T-Z.com. And for your listeners, Todd, I put together a package of kind of tools for them. So actually, if they go to scottmaltz.com/free tools, no space in between that, free tools, they'll get a free 30-page companion workbook with over 80 questions in it that goes along with the book, Leading from the Middle. And they'll get access to my complete leadership and self-leadership toolkit, which is just jammed with things to help everybody successfully lead from the middle.
Great. Well, Scott, congrats on the new book. Very excited for you and for all those who are going to learn how to better lead from the middle. And thanks for taking the time to share your time and wisdom with us today.
Thanks as always, Todd, and thanks for letting me talk about my love letter to the middle manager today. So thank you so much.
I really enjoyed that conversation with Scott. I hope that you did too. Listen, even if you think I'm not a manager necessarily, you are a manager. If you have to work with clients, if you have to work with peers, you have to manage, you're in the middle, all of these things apply to you as well. So I hope that you took away something actionable, something practical that you can apply in your life and in your work today from the conversation with Scott Maltz. Again, the book is called Leading from the Middle. Hey, also remember, my next book is coming out a year from September. Visit thedailycreative.me to learn how you can start reading it now. If you like the show, please subscribe, follow wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, we're everywhere. So make sure that you click that follow button and follow the show wherever you are. If you want to ask a question for a future episode, please visit accidentalcreative.com/podcasts, plural podcasts, and click on the button. It'll bring up a dialog box where you can ask a question and maybe your question will be used on the show. The Accidental Creative is part of the Airwave Media Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen to more fine shows. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice in your life. See you next time.
You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.